Welcome to this episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd. Today we're going to be talking about bowling. Bumpers up. You know, we're going to be talking about the, maybe you call it the sport of bowling. I mean, I always took bowling as, you know, something that you did that was just a extracurricular activity, not necessarily a sport, you know, something somebody did. But there's some interesting things to look at with bowling.
Now, before we get into bowling too much, you mentioned the word sport. Do you consider cheerleading a sport?
No.
No, me neither.
No.
So is that out of the way then?
No.
All right.
Sorry, Olivia. And that, I love you. My daughter Olivia loves cheerleading and she considers that a sport, but I'm sorry,
she's
it's not
an athlete.
A sport.
She's not an athlete.
No.
She does it. Just like that old, what's the official name of that ribbon, throwing around the ribbons? What's that bit at the Olympics?
No, honestly, I think it's actually called throwing around the ribbons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's just ridiculous.
They're not athletes.
Yeah.
Either,
they? No, they're not. They're not.
I mean, they seem to be very flexible, which, you know, kudos to them.
But,
so I can barely tie
my
own shoelace. But,
yeah, but that's, you know, kind of like the gymnastics or whatever part of that.
Yeah.
Just because they can do gymnastics and, like you say, throw around a ribbon doesn't invent a sport.
Now, do you think they should get rid of gymnastics and just introduce parkour?
Why hasn't parkour been
in
the Olympics?
I don't know, because that stuff's impressive. Everybody loves watching that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but, you know, we can't do that. I mean, they tried. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but did they not get, like, skateboarding and some of those, like, extreme sports finally
in
the Olympics?
I'm not sure. I just don't know in the proper Olympics, right, where a Mimio Protrechtchov, who's 12 years old, has steroids to stop her getting any heavier or growing, gets beaten up three times a day because she's dared to eat, you know, extra peas.
But,
I don't know why that's a sport.
But remember, we still have in the Winter Olympics the biathlon, which is skiing and shooting a gun.
Well, that's all right.
But then we got rid of naked wrestling. Because if you look back at the history of the Olympics, the wrestlers were naked. So
But also dwarf tossing hasn't made it in there either.
God, that'd be a great sport.
Wouldn't it? Dwarf tossing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then shooting. Putting skiing, shooting, and dwarf tossing, then maybe we've got a sport.
The triathlon.
The triathlon.
Rather than swimming, running, and biking, let's do that. See, this is why we should be in charge of the Olympics.
Of pretty much everything, really.
Yeah, it should be. But we're talking about bowling.
We find solutions to problems that don't exist.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we're talking about bowling.
Yeah, all right then. So bowling. Are you any good at bowling?
Well, it depends on your definition of what's good at bowling. I mean, I don't even know what the good average score is with bowling. It's like, you know, somebody says, hey, do you play golf? And I would say, well, yeah, I play golf, but I haven't played in a while. And then when I say, you know, I've shot in the 80s before, that's really good.
That is good for golf, yeah.
You know, but obviously when I shot in the 80s, I probably cheated like 20 strokes to get into the
80s.
Yeah. You know, which is, you can't really cheat in bowling like you can in golf.
Right.
So I think, you know, my best score in bowling was probably in the low 200s. I think that's probably pretty good. The ironic part, though, is when I rolled that game, I was like 9, 10 years old. If I would go right now to bowl, if you said, hey, let's stop the podcast, let's go up to a bowling alley and let's bowl a game, if I bowled my best, I would probably say I'd bowl maybe a 150.
Yeah, that's quite all right. I just can't find a pattern. I will play games, I'll get like 150, then the next game I'll get like 62. I just haven't found a rhythm with it. And I can't find any reason, because like, I've been great at every sport I've ever played, which is why I completely dismiss bowling as being a sport. Because like bowling, it's actually considered as a target sport. I don't know what that is. Mm. And a recreational activity. So me, it basically means I can suck across two different genres at the exact same thing.
Yeah, but going back to the recreational activity, I mean, you have curling now in the Winter Olympics. And it looks like four dads that like got onto the wrong airplane and showed up and they said, hey, y'all got to go play this game. Like, oh, okay, well, we'll turn our ball cap around backwards and we've got our polo shirt on that, you know, our guts kind of hanging out and we're playing this game, but we're these professional curlers.
Curling has a rich history. Mm. And I think you've just peed upon it a little bit.
Well, okay, so let's go with the cornhole. I mean, that's one of those new ones where you look at ESPN, and maybe this is because we're in the age of COVID right now, right? And sports just sucks so bad that this is what we're looking at, that we are actually watching professional cornhole players throw bean bags into a little plywood hole.
Well, cornhole has a rich history, so I don't want to, you know, that one. I'll tell you what doesn't have a rich history, right?
When bowling?
It does.
Oh, it does?
No, when I lived in Europe, some of the countries, like especially the Nordic ones, have such a strong interest, you know, in like winter sports, that I stayed in a hotel once and like two or three of the radio stations had skiing on the radio. So literally
skiing on the radio.
Yeah, live skiing on the radio. So all you heard was kind of whoosh,
whoosh, whoosh, whoosh, he went left, whoosh, he went right.
And every now and then
he went left.
And
he
every
went
now
right.
and then you'd hear the commentator be like, oh, whoosh, whoosh, skiing on the radio.
That is boring.
That is tapping them. That's like ESPN channel 34.
Yeah.
That was pretty bad. But there's also, you know, we want to talk about sports before we really kind of like really pee over bowling being a sport. There's an Indian sport, which is basically a game of tag, which you play in a square, which I think is like, I'm going to guess this, like 12-yard square. And you have to hold your breath, but keep repeating this phrase. Like, I don't know, any phrase you can think of, like, anyway, like this. And you basically play tag in this square, but you have to hold your breath and play tag, and the last person wins. And that's actually an official sport in India.
So,
and it gets on the TV.
So why don't we have hopscotch in the Olympics?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's amazing how... Well, when that Indian game of holding your breath tag gets in there, then we'll... maybe put a hopscotch in there. But anyway, so how old do you think bowling is, if you had to have a guess?
Oh, gosh. You
Not 1972. Like, it's before that. I'll give you a clue.
Okay. I'm going to guess... let's go with, like, 250 years.
No. It's even before the Common Era.
Oh. No kidding.
Mm. And where do you think it originated while you're... Guessing out there. Okay,
so now you're telling me it's more than 2,000 years old.
When and where?
When did it... let's go with Egypt.
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding. Egypt? Wow, okay.
Because let's be honest, outside of building Sphinx and pyramids, they had nothing better to do. So they
build... pyramids and the Sphinx and bowling alleys.
And bowling.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
Yeah.
And the aliens didn't bring bowling to us.
No.
Okay. So I'm going to go with 4,000 years ago.
No.
So like 2000 BC?
No. 5,200 BC.
Wow.
And that's when they actually found the first dated... kind of stuff of it being a thing. It might have actually been a thing before that, but all you need to know is that people have been embarrassingly underperforming bowling for over 7,000 years.
Well, yeah,
been sucking up 7,000 years.
Most people underperform when they bowl anyway,
right? Yeah. Now, the Roman Empire got in the act, because you know the Romans great at a lot of things, especially if you like listen to Life of Brian, watch the Life of Brian movie.
Sure.
Gave us the aqueduct, sanitation,
the Romans.
All this.
Oh, the Romans.
All this stuff. So anyway, they got in on the bowling thing about 2,000 years ago. So they waited about 5,000 years after the Egyptians invented it, right? Kind of thought, let's see how it catches on. You know, give it 5,000 years, as you do. Yeah. A bit kind of similar to how Microsoft spends its time waiting to take on the latest technology.
Sure.
So yeah, the Romans kind of waited 5,000 years and thought, all right, let's give it a try. And that was like historically the whole bowling thing. And then we had to wait thousands of years before it became a thing here in the Western world.
Yeah. So I could see the Romans doing that because, I mean, they could be lazy with some things. Like, you know, hey.
Straight roads.
Yeah. Do we wait and figure out, is this going to be a thing? You know, I mean, they built Colosseums and everything, but you never go to Rome and say, hey, take me to the ancient bowling alley. You know, I've never heard of any ancient bowling alleys over there in Rome, right?
Well, I actually think, other than overseeing the crucifixion of our Messiah, that taking on bowling as a pastime was probably the second worst mistake.
Probably.
Yeah. But the Germans, as a whole, you know, got into the act about 400 AD, right?
Okay. So we're still talking about a long time ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because when you looked at me with the Germans, I'm thinking, okay, well they're going to organize this. They're going to put everything together.
The Bavarians threw the hoop in the match.
They're going to set the rules and they're going to say, hey, here's the way we do it. But this is long before that. Okay.
Well, the difference being that, like, when the Egyptians did it and the Romans kind of caught on 5,000 years too late, they still did it as a little bit of a pastime, right? Just like have a little bit of fun, pass the time. Like, if we're not building pyramids, if we're not invading countries and all this stuff, building Roman bars.
It was something you did after work. It's like, okay, hey, I spent all day putting this pyramid together.
Yeah.
And I just need something to kind of blow off some steam, so I'm going to go bowling.
Now, I'm not an expert, but I do think some of the pyramids took longer than a day to put together.
Well, no, I'm just saying you're typical Egyptian dude, and you don't. You wake up in the morning, you eat some terrible breakfast, whatever, and
locusts.
And, locusts. There you go.
Plague.
You kiss the wife and you say, "Hey, I'm going to work," and now you're putting all these stones together, building a pyramid, and you tell the wife, "Hey, I'm not coming home tonight until I go bowling with my other pyramid building buddies."
Yeah.
And so he just went out and did some bowling before he went home. I mean, what's wrong with that?
For the record, there's not a lot of hieroglyphics kind of showing bowling.
Well, because the guys that were going bowling didn't want to tell their wives.
Give away the secret.
Yeah. They didn't want to tell the wives that they were going bowling. They said, hey, we're putting the pyramid together, and then after we do our work today, we have this meeting that we have to go to after that and talk about the work for the next day. So I'll be home late tonight.
Yeah.
And then they actually went and bowled. So maybe that was kind of that first hidden thing of not having to go home and deal with the wife.
Yeah. Well, apparently the Germans managed to completely ruin it being a recreational activity.
Yeah.
You know, but when you got a history of starting two world wars, I mean, probably the part before that isn't going to be golden either. But anyway, they used bowling as a religious ritual, right?
Oh.
And they used it to cleanse themselves from sin. Now, my thought when I first read that, right, was the church at the time must have done a piss poor job of communicating that Jesus's death on the cross atoned for all sin, when somebody has to introduce bowling to complete the atonement for your sins.
Yeah.
I mean, the blood of Christ covers all, but you're gonna have to do a little bit of bowling to cover up that you know, stealing you did last Thursday.
There was definitely a PR issue here that they were dealing with, or you know, so maybe the early bowling leagues that were trying to start said, hey, we've got an opportunity here. let's just say that people have to go roll a ball down this lane and knock pins over.
Now, I think at the time they were like stone, kind of like roundish rocks. So,
Okay.
I don't even know if they had holes you could put your fingers in it. It was just like rolling a rock at something. But it was cleansing, apparently. So,
yeah. Well, don't make it bad.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's fine.
Now, I don't know about you, but anytime I've been bowling, I've adapted the language of a Tourette's syndrome sufferer.
Yeah.
And, I think I actually create more sin by the cussing and the drinking to get rid of my poor performance than I do any atonement of sins.
Yeah, but I don't want to jump too far ahead because I haven't, you know, looked at our, you know, little 3x5 note card here of our notes here. But you do realize the connotation behind bowling is kind of that white trash sport.
Well, right. It is now. It didn't used to be.
Oh.
Used to be a very, very high up sport.
No kidding.
No, poor people were like beaten and imprisoned if they dared to do bowling at the wrong time.
Wow. Okay. Because, you know, in the United States, that was always kind of that white trash sport. But before, it not so much is what you're telling me.
Yeah. Well, remember, you don't have much history here, do you, really?
Well, no. What, maybe 300-400 years, depending on what propaganda you read.
King Edward III, right? Now, outside of being an absolutely brilliant military, you know, and political figure, I mean, he really did more than probably any king in history in England of achieving, you know, different variations of warfare and actually putting together, you know, political reforms that actually supported, I guess, you know, the decisions the king was making and integrating royalty with, you know, the political systems of the day. One of the things he was most known for was he actually banned bowling because it was a distraction to archery practice.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's his other legacy.
Why was he so against bowling?
Well, it wanted archery practice.
What was so good about archery?
Well, I don't know. Beth, who worked at the baker's, I think he could have given her a free pass. It's like, Beth, go play some bowling because you're crap at archery, mate. You don't need to be practicing that.
We're not all good at certain sports.
But he gets a free pass because, like I said, he was a military and political genius. So, but still in his legacy, though, he actually, you know, kind of banned bowling.
Yeah.
And then there was King Henry VIII, who, not known for his best decisions, because remember, he got married 6 times, right?
Yeah. They wrote a song about him.
Yeah.
Henry VIII, I am, and all that. Yeah.
You know, he's not a great figure in terms of divorce court legends, I suppose. You know, there's a lot of misogyny going on for the reasons why he divorced his wives.
Sure.
You know, well, remember Anne Boleyn, she had like too many digits on her hands.
Yeah, but let's not judge him. I mean, we're not here to judge. We don't know.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. And maybe there were some issues that you or I, if we were the king and we had those problems, maybe we would say, yeah, we don't want anything to do with this. We need to get rid of it because we'd rather go bowling.
Does go to show, though, that even all these many hundred years later, that even if you're fat and a bit obnoxious, if you've got a lot of money, you can still get married 6 times.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, so absolutely.
That,
So anyway, that's proven time and time again.
So anyway, he was a pretty avid bowler, which, you know, if you've got 6 wives or, you know, obviously not at the same time, but, you know, he probably wanted to get away a little bit, you know. So, I don't know how many bowling lanes were available at the time, but he actually banned bowling for the lower classes, for the poor people, except for at Christmas.
Christmas?
Christmas. That's the only time the poor people, the peasants, were allowed to go bowling.
Can you imagine being a peasant at Christmas and okay, so this is my one time I can bowl.
Yeah.
So I've got to stand in line. I just want to bowl.
Look at your priority list, though. Buying gifts for the kids, not starving to death, not dying of the Black Death or whatever crap was going around at that time. oh, I'll stick bowling at the list. You know, yeah. I'm going to stick all that stuff down because I want to go bowling. So.
Yeah, and bowling's got to be number one because this is my yeah. one time Sorry, kids. Out of the year yeah. that I'm going to be able to bowl. So yeah. I know you're sick over there. Yeah. Stop coughing. Yeah. Put a mask on. Stay yeah. 6 feet away from me.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go bowling.
Yeah. Happy Christmas, kids. Daddy's going bowling. No, I haven't got yes. you anything because it still costs me threepence. Or three copper pieces to go bowling, and which I could have used on your Christmas gifts, but I didn't because I want to go bowling.
That's right, because yeah. I only have one time a year right. that I can do this.
Yeah. So, kind of proving further that the English royal family did a little bit too much inbreeding in the early days, yeah. right up until about 1940 or 1950.
It always comes into the English. Well, see, y'all just it messed up the world.
Well, I mean... Like I said, I think until about 1950 or 1960, they did way too much inbreeding.
Mm.
But anyway, King James I, he banned bowling on Sundays, which, you know, fair enough. You know, here in Texas, we can't buy liquor on Sundays. So
true.
It's fair enough. But anyway, he permitted dancing and archery on Sundays as long as you first attended church.
Oh.
Because if you were an atheist... There's no archery, there's no dancing.
So did you get like a little card that they punched a hole in saying, hey, you attended church?
Well, I think you got a bracelet, like a colored string or something.
Yeah,
it's
something that proved that you actually went there.
So then
and
you could go
that.
Dance and do archery
you,
and stuff.
You could dance, you could do archery, but bowling? No,
no,
can't
that's
do
bad,
that.
Period.
No oh, matter no, that's bad.
So,
that's
yeah,
bad.
So that's the history of bowling in England. And it actually took, you know, given bowling was literally 7,000 years or so old by this point, till 1895, and it was, I think, in New York, the modern standardized rules of bowling were introduced, which means, you know, obviously for the previous 7,000 years, they were just making it up as they went along.
Yeah. Well, it's like playing Monopoly. You bring people over and it's like, oh, okay, well, free parking, we're going to put $500 in here, you get that, and then all of the community chest and chance, you throw that in the middle, you know, so lots of house rules basically.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden somebody said, hey, we ought to make some standardized rules here with this game that we're rolling a ball down and knocking stuff over.
Well, you know, it had to do with when betting came in, right?
Oh, sure.
Because, you know, the biggest way to get standardized rules is to introduce betting, where people who are putting in the money, you know, want a level playing field in terms of how decisions are being made, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if you and I right now said, we're going to do rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah.
We're going to have to make a rule that says, okay, well, if we're going to put money on this, we're going to have to say rock, paper, scissors, shoot. We can't just say rock, paper, scissors and then wait 10 seconds between whatever we put out there. So now all of a sudden we got to set these rules up because now gambling's involved.
Yeah, it's a really bad example, but I know what you mean.
Yeah. No, that's a great
example. Now coming towards the modern day, there's roughly about 4,500 bowling alleys in the United States. But going back to the mid-60s, there was actually about 11,000, and that's more actually to do with the cost of running electricity and the price of property and that stuff. But, you know, I kind of blamed Wii bowling personally when that came in, because it's like, why am I going to go to a bowling alley when I can suck at Wii bowling?
Yeah. Well, you can also look at the Wii bowling when that came in. That was so much easier and everybody could do that and you didn't have to go rent the shoes. You didn't have to go to the bowling alley, and there's still that connotation of the bowling alley that it's still kind of trashy.
Plus you had your own avatar.
Well, yeah, if you weren't so lazy that you didn't create that, you just didn't say, okay, well, here's whatever it is, and then I just want to play
your avatar
the game.
Your avatar was still that brunette in a dress named Jessica.
Exactly. Yeah. You could be lazy with that.
Yeah.
But still going back to that whole bowling alley thing here, it still just had that kind of white trash connotation.
But I think that came later on because, you know, the in terms of the number of people, and like I wanted to get on the figures for this, that, you know, there's their estimates, and I don't know how they do this approximation, but, you know, there's 67 million people a year in the United States who bowl at least, you know, kind of like once a year, right? So one person might do it in January and be like, yeah, that's terrible, I'm not doing it again till next year.
Yeah, but you're talking about 20% of the U.S. population.
Yeah, but let's
That's a big chunk.
It is, but you can take five-year-olds bowling, you know, it's not the same number of you'd attribute to like taking part in full contact martial arts, you know.
Right.
So, you know, different because, like, you know, grandma can go bowling, but once you kick her in the face a few times at the local dojo, you know, that's you know, she's not coming back next week.
That's a good point.
Yeah. But 1.3 million of them actually compete in leagues, including our friend Eric, who kind of swept that one in. He was kind of like, oh, I'm part of a bowling league. I've not asked him any further questions since he announced that.
That's kind of one of those where you're like, oh,
I just don't know what to. I just don't know what to ask.
Yeah, it's like,
nice,
good for you.
Yeah, you're bowling. Do you have your own ball?
Congratulations.
Do you have your own ball? You have your own shoes?
I don't want to sponsor you with this, but...
can we come watch?
I don't want to watch.
No.
Yeah.
But now, funnily enough, like that 1.3 million people registered in leagues, I did actually look, you know, on some sites on the interwebs, and they said that there was 2 million league players, but... You know, I'm kind of thinking that the secretary of the National Association probably past guessing and counting her days to retirement isn't necessarily that fussy about the numbers.
Yeah.
You know, because what's going to, I mean, if it's like 1.3 or it's 1.7, I mean, nobody's losing out.
Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah. They're too busy playing Candy Crush and they're not tracking all this.
I'm wondering why, you know, the grandkids aren't calling them as often as maybe they should. Now, bumpers. Right?
Bumpers.
Now, okay. Well, the thing is, you know,
I know what this is.
We have this title, right, of Bumpers Up, Sucking at Bowling, you know, about bowling. Now, bumpers were actually first introduced here in Texas, right?
No kidding.
In Dallas.
Wow.
In Dallas, right? And this dude, I think it was, I can't remember the exact number, but it was Jupiter Bowling Alley or something. So anyway, he invented bumpers, and it was first, like, I think a whole bunch of cardboard it put, you know, to either side.
Yeah.
And it was because his son, you know, I think he was a toddler. I don't think he was like 26 or something. But anyway, he kept crying because he was getting frustrated because, you know, he was throwing the ball down there and it kept going.
Yeah.
So anyway, so he invented, he was the one who invented bumpers and it stopped his kid from crying out of frustration. And I figured, well, all the times I've been to a bowling alley, I mean, it's been working the same way with high school girls ever since. It stops them from crying out of frustration. Yeah.
Well, I do remember when I was a little kid, believe it or not, I was in a bowling league. I mean, I was, you know, a little kid, and my mom ended up being the coach of our team. And it was me and two other girls. And so our little team was me and these two girls. And my mom had her own bowling ball and all this stuff. And she won the tournament of the coaches. And me and one of the other girls won the... you know, whatever you want to call it, the team thing and everything, but they had a handicap. And so they put handicaps on everybody. And based off the handicap, they actually gave the winning trophy to another team because me and this other girl won the tournament. But
don't say other girl because it makes you sound like you're a girl. Just me and this girl.
Okay, fair enough. But the other team won the tournament and got the big trophy based off the handicap. Mm-hmm. And my mom was mad. And I've never seen my mom want to fight somebody physically on that, because she worked with us, trained with us, showed us how to bowl, all that good stuff. And we actually lost that, and then we got out of the bowling league. And like, yeah. I'm like 7-8 years old, yeah. something like that, bowling.
Yeah.
And it was just a fun game, but my mom honestly kind of took offense to it because all these other kids sucked at it. Yeah. My mom taught us how to bowl really well. And the third girl on the team, literally, and this was without bumpers or anything else, she would bowl like a 12.
Right.
And by the end of the season, that girl was bowling like 100.
Yeah.
Because my mom would show her how to bowl and all this, but the other kids, it wasn't doing anything. And so that's when I just got away from bowling. I'm like, yeah, it's a white trash sport. I just don't want to do this.
Well,
anymore.
I mean, I know your dad very well, and I can just imagine him sitting home thinking, yeah, one day my son's going to play in the NFL, and all of a sudden you're playing with two girls and being coached by your mom at bowling.
Yeah.
But, you know...
Well, there is that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Bowling's a big industry. I mean, it's actually a $10 billion industry.
$10
billion. $10
billion, that's crazy.
Yeah, and that's like Austin Powers type $10
billion. Yeah.
I mean, not just like, you know, Elon Musk $10 billion. That's like big money. So that only kind of supports my view that, you know, in the United States, masochistic tendencies kind of run deep a little bit. And I think the Germans probably got it a little bit correct when they were talking about using bowling as an act of contrition, because those out of the 60 million people who do it at least once a year, and, you know, regardless what numbers you believe of about between 1.3 million and 2 million playing in leagues, that leaves 65 million people who kind of do it and think, I don't want to do it again.
Well,
unless they're on a date.
Let me ask you this. When's the last time you bowled?
Probably about 4 years ago, maybe.
And how'd you do?
Crap.
Well, walk us through the premise.
All right.
You know, were you just there with a couple of friends?
I think I've got like a possessed arm. That's all I can say. Because I will play some games and I can get like 160, 170 points, right?
Okay.
And blow everybody out of the water. But the next game, for no reason whatsoever, I'll get like 70. And no. There's no rhyme or reason for it.
Yeah, but it's been 4 years.
Probably, yeah.
Since you've been in a bowling alley.
Yeah, I just haven't, you know, been, I guess, motivated or had the kind of reason to go and bowl.
Yeah, but why? Why do you not want to go bowling again?
Because I just don't really enjoy sucking at something that badly, randomly, I guess. Because I like to do things where people kind of are in awe of me, and bowling is not one of those things. I mean, just like, I'm not going to go on American Idol. You know, I mean, I'm pretty but I just can't sing well enough.
No, we all know you don't need to go on American Idol.
I don't
Idol
need to.
With your singing voice. We know that.
I'm going America's Got No Talent, but American Idol, I don't want to go on there.
If you and I right now stop this podcast and we ran up to a bowling alley and I said, what are you going to bowl? What do you think your score would be?
Well, first of all, there's a couple of issues with that. I think the closest one is about 3.7 miles away in Otago. So if you and I run there at the current condition we're in, it's going to have been closed by 2 hours by the time we get there. So we're going to have to sit and wait until 11 a.m. tomorrow morning until it opens. But no, I don't know, but that's the thing. I could bowl like a fantastic score and like completely destroy you. Then we play the next two games and it's...
You'd fall apart.
I just fall apart. I've just got no consistency. And Wii bowling didn't help me. I used to play like with my girlfriend, Cindy, I used to play dozens of Wii bowling games a night. And even though I wasn't actually holding a heavy ball, I would still get that same pattern of where the ball would just twist into, you know, the kind of, you know,
yeah, go in the gutter.
Like, yeah, the gutter side, the side. It's like there was no rhyme or reason for it, and the exact same pattern would play itself out in Wii Bowling as it would in real life. And then I was just like, well, what's the point? I can save $12 and, you know,
yeah,
not do it.
No, it makes total sense.
It's the same thing with Wii Baseball.
Yeah,
to be honest with you.
But not Wii Boxing.
Not Wii. Oh goodness. I can do one hand in Wii Boxing and kill everything.
Rabbit hole.
You want to get
rabbit
hole. Wii Kickboxing. That's where I really come in. It acts like a third arm. But you know, when you talk about, you know, that, you know, bowling being a $10 billion industry, which I don't believe. But then again, I only clicked on one link, so who knows what's true.
Right.
You know, bowling balls, depending on the material they're made out of, there's like this hard resin and this other stuff.
Okay.
Maybe they're made out of clay and wrapped in cellophane, I don't know. But, you know, if you go on Amazon, it's anywhere between like about $40 and $300 just for a basic bowling ball.
Wow. Now,
if you actually get it customized, there's some of those ones, you know, they'll have like a, you know, a rose in the middle of it, or you can have whatever. Oh. I mean, really expensive. I mean, it can run into thousands of dollars, but I think you have to be pretty good before you like putting it out there. You're showing a ball with, like, you know.
Is it you're pretty good, or you just love bowling that much that you want something that fancy? When you open your little bag that has your bowling ball and everybody looks at it like, oh, wow. That guy really likes bowling.
Well, what kind of a statement would you be making if you turned up at the bowling alley and you pulled out of the bag a bowling ball with a kind of almost holographic Baby Yoda Frodo in the middle of that ball? You better be pretty good.
Yeah, we could go like so many different directions. Yeah. You know, it honestly makes me think about, you know, when I keep saying, well, you know, bowling was kind of that kind of white trash deal. And you talked about how bowling has been around forever. You know, I remember when smoking was for the higher ups, when hunting was for the higher ups. You know, these were things that only the rich people did.
Yeah.
You know, smoking, hunting, all that. Now it's looked at as this is for the lower people. This is for the white trash people. It's kind of ironic that you're talking about bowling's been around for 7,000 years or 5,000 years or whatever it is. And now I look at it as one of those sports that, yeah, now this is a white trash sport, but it used to be something for the upper class.
Yeah.
That was what everybody did. Horse riding, that. I mean, you could make a laundry list of all these things that used to be upper class and is now relegated to the lower class.
Now, you know, one big input on that, which is probably going to come in at about number two or three if we ranked it.
Okay.
Marrying your cousin. Because, like, true. It used to be, you know, with the upper class and that, it's like, because they didn't want to mix, you know, with the peasants and, you know, infidels and all that stuff. You know,
right.
marrying your sister or your cousin was the way to go. Because, like, all right, I know I can't stand your stupid face and we've been living in the same house and actually sharing a bedroom for blah, 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 but I'm marrying you rather than kind of like a...
Right, gotta keep the family lines clean.
That's why the royal family, especially in England...
they all look funny.
They're all a bit horse-faced.
Yeah, they look funny. And they all look funny.
But that's why they're all talking that way as well. I think they've got a mutated palate from inbreeding.
Yeah, but you talk funny too.
Well, yeah, but... if the royal family does want to sponsor us, we are not currently sponsored by any royal family. My personal preference would be one of the Nordic royal families because they seem to be a lot prettier and a lot more level-headed. But we are still open to being sponsored by the royal family of England, if you're listening, which is doubtful.
Absolutely. But but then you look at who's the chick that married you know, one of the princes over there, the American chick.
Oh,
Meghan Markle.
Yeah, Meghan Markle.
Meghan Markle. Markle.
Yeah, type E or F actress with a, you know, narcissistic complex. Yeah. But mind you, like, she married Prince Harry, and like, he wasn't the sharpest tool in the box, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but but they're all, you know, a little bit slow. I mean, they need some tutoring to be able to graduate high school. I get that. Yeah. But
those were the ones. Remember, you got mad because they stole one of our ideas for a podcast about a week ago.
Oh, they did.
But they launched their podcast and they finished lower than a podcast dedicated to whale sounds.
Yeah.
In the ocean.
Yeah,
so
it crashed.
Stuff you.
It crashed.
Stuff you, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle.
Yeah. And hopefully it's Prince Harry. I don't know how many princes there are.
Yeah, actually ranked lower than us in the podcast rankings in the world at the moment. So they can go do one.
Yeah. So good for them.
Yeah.
Or bad for them. Yeah. You know, whichever way you want to look at that. But do you think they go bowling now?
I don't know if they went bowling before, to be honest.
I think they're bowling now. I think they're realizing, you know, hey, we walked away from, you know, this British monarchy thing. Now we moved over to America, and now I think they're in a bowling league. And I honestly think Eric, our buddy, is one of the team members on their bowling league.
Yeah.
I think that's where they're at.
I don't know if he's going to bring their average up or down, to be honest with you. But you were mentioning earlier about the whole kind of smoking thing. But, you know, a lot of bowling alleys, especially the independents, the majority of them will do a full bar and allow smoking.
Right.
Which, you know, for me, I kind of understand that, although I don't smoke. But, you know, I'm so bad at bowling, I think, you know, they may as well just sell mushrooms and ecstasy.
Might as well.
You know, because that probably just helped my game just as much. You know?
Well, I always thought, you know, here I am. I'm playing this game. I'm wearing rented shoes. And I can't have food here. I can't have drinks here. And now all of a sudden you can't smoke here. Because I remember, like I said, when I was a kid and doing the bowling league. I mean, everybody was smoking in the alleys or whatever. But now you can't smoke, now you can't drink, now you can't do all this stuff around the bowling lane. It's like, well, what's the fun in this anymore? You know, everything gets torn away as far as what was fun with doing all this stuff.
Well, I mean, I think the last time I went bowling was at like Main Event in Grapevine here in North Texas.
Yeah.
And I think the advantage I actually had, because I think I actually did quite well from what I can remember, is because the group I was in, their fingers were so covered in pizza grease that they couldn't fit, you know, their balls kind of went a little bit skew-whiff, and I think I kind of won by default because of pizza grease, which, you know, isn't the best boast in the world, but that I figured I'd leave it at that. Went out on a high note. Those nine-year-olds didn't see what was coming to the moment.
But going back to that, you got to love that. That guy that, you know, he's like 250, 260, walking in there with his ball in his bag. He's like, I'm a bowler.
He's an athlete.
I'm an athlete. I'm a bowler. I've got my ball here in the bag. I'm coming here. I'm going to show everybody in these lanes how much of an athlete I am.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go home to my trailer.
It's got
to
be like Hugh Hefner. That is prime.
That I hate my life so much that the only thing I have to show for it is when I come to a bowling alley and maybe I can break 200.
Right.
How terrible would that be to live that way?
Well, I'll tell you what, one of the things I've never understood, and I don't know if you had to do it right back from when you were, you know, kid when your mum was coaching, but how the majority of the bowling alleys where you have to hand in your own shoes in exchange for getting the bowling shoes plus paying money. So it's not even just like a straight swap. It's not like, oh, is my $90 Under Armour sneakers for these pair of $25 brand new on Amazon shoes, even despite the fact that, you know, 90 other people have worn them this month. It's not even a straight swap. They ask you to pay money to rent the shoes, plus you have to give in your own shoes. Now, how many times have you personally, when you've played bowling, thinking, you know what, I'm going to go out pimping tonight. I don't need the pair of shoes I came to the bowling alley in. I'm going to walk away with his bowling shoes and make things happen.
Maybe if you look at it in a different way, I could go to a thrift store and buy a pair of shoes for $2.
You could also paint your own shoes. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Or walk in barefooted and right. just say, you know, I don't have shoes, and come in there. So maybe they're kind of throwing towards that, you know, kind of white trash thing that maybe people are stealing shoes from us because they don't have shoes. So,
well, what would they exchange then?
Well, but maybe they need some collateral, because there were enough people that came in there without shoes on to say, well, I don't have shoes to trade in on these. I'm going to rent the shoes. And they kept losing shoes.
I don't know about that, because the bowling lane's like about $8, $10 nowadays. They can go to Walmart and buy a couple of pairs of shoes that, and paint them. They could go to the section next to it where you buy those paints.
But you know what? Maybe if I decide, you know what, I'm going to bowl. I'm going to be a bowler. I'm going to be a professional bowler. But for some reason, I'm not going to buy my own bowling shoes. So I'm going to show up to a bowling alley and I'm going to steal a pair of shoes. I could go to Walmart and buy me a $9 pair of shoes. And in your estimation, bowling shoes are $25. Let's go with that.
That's the average.
I've literally made $16 by doing that.
Maybe.
And maybe I do that over and over again. Now I'm supporting my family
me of those really rich people who get caught for shoplifting, you know, like $4 sandwich or something. But
The thrill of it.
Yeah, I think you came up with the best example earlier when you talked about when you have to do that at the roller skating place. Because, like, all right, you go to a bowling alley, all right, you might have a really crap pair of shoes, right? You pay them $4 exchange, and those bowling shoes, if they haven't been worn by lepers and whatever, might actually be in better condition than the shoes you already have.
Right.
Or you might be high on meth and just think it's a good idea anyway. But I can't ever imagine anybody turning in their own shoes at a bowling alley and walking away thinking, yeah, roller skates is the way to go.
Yeah. Well, of course, in a roller rink, you know, it's a completely different thing. I've been in roller rinks before. You know, I used to do aggressive inline skating, and I still have my skates.
What's aggressive inline skating?
Topic
like roller derby?
No, topic for a different podcast. But I will tell you this story, and we're going to close it out with this. Right. I've been in a roller rink, you know, when my kids went to a birthday party or whatever, and they're getting their skates and everything, and I brought my old aggressive inline skates, and the guy behind the counter will see my skates and literally try to buy my skates off of me, knowing what they're worth.
Was it like Spartacus? Did you have nails coming outside of them?
Yes. Yeah. Something good. Like that.
That's good.
So.
So that's bowling in a nutshell.
Yes. I mean, we solved all the problems as far as, you know, what.
And most of them we created.
I think we did actually create more problems with bowling than we actually solved.
It's a simple sport.
Are we going to go bowling?
Yes.
Should we go bowling?
We should.
So let's set.
We'll maybe even film it and put it on our YouTube channel.
Yeah, but let's set an over and under. If we went bowling right now, what would you score? In one game, 10 frames. What if I said right now, we're going to go bowling, what do you think you could bowl?
16.
16?
Yeah.
So I would say 17, so I win.
Right.
And with that being said, thanks for tuning into this episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd, and we'll catch you on the next one.